Welcome back to a special edition of EcoTalk. We're devoting most of this hour to the movie An Inconvenient Truth out this weekend. Al Gore sat down with EcoTalk to chat for a few minutes.
How does it feel during this week of your movie's debut?
Well, I'm glad this message is getting to a larger audience in a shorter period of time. That's the main point. As to how I personally feel, it's interesting to be on the red carpet at Cannes. I never thought my slideshow would get me there, but I'm old enough to have perspective and to enjoy such events without getting them out of proportion. I know that a red carpet is actually just a rug.
The green carpet is what they really should have rolled out.
Well, they did at the L.A. premiere, which was great. I don't know. It's an interesting process, and I'm enjoying it, but I'm keeping my focus on trying to get the message out.
Which you do so well in this movie, and I promise I won't ask the question that everybody has asked you, and even me, when I tell them I'm going to be interviewing you, and that, of course, is about your political aspirations. I just want to get that out of the way, because personally, it bothers me. It reminds me of when you get engaged, which I've had two marriages, so I've had some experience there, and you announce to the world you've just made that decision to marry somebody and spend the rest of your life with them, and before people say congratulations, they say, when are you getting married? What's the date?
It's know, like,
wait, can we just revel in this good news for a little while? Can't people just focus on the movie?
And also, you know, having been in a couple of presidential campaigns, actually two as a candidate and two as a vice presidential nominee, it's when you are actually a candidate, then the focus is on the horse race.
Exactly. You know,
yeah, I'm not planning to or expecting to ever be a candidate again. I haven't made a so-called Sherman statement because it just seems a little absurd to do that. But I'm not stopping short of that in some coy effort to prop the door open to a candidacy. I'm just shifting gears internally, and I don't really expect to ever be a candidate again. I am involved in a campaign, though not for a candidacy. It's a campaign to change the minds of the American people on this climate crisis that is now a planetary emergency, and we really have to face the reality of our circumstances and start making bold changes to forestall this catastrophe.
Why do you think this is a movie that every American should see?
Well, we are in a bubble of unreality in the United States, being one of only two countries in the advanced world that hasn't joined the global treaty and the global effort to solve the climate crisis. And the old saying is, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. The truth about global warming is that we human beings are radically changing the climate of the planet by putting so much global warming pollution in the thin shell of atmosphere surrounding the Earth that it's trapping a lot more of the sun's heat inside the atmosphere and cooking the planet's environment, and the more vulnerable parts of it are wilting and drying out, and the ice is melting in almost every mountain glacier. The North Pole is beginning to melt. West Antarctica and Greenland are beginning to melt and be destabilized. The ecological niches are being scrambled. The oceans are warming, and that's creating stronger hurricanes. Hurricane Katrina was a consequence that was long ago predicted by the global warming scientists, and even though no single storm can be attributed to global warming, the fact is that all of the hurricanes have become, on average, much stronger because of global warming. And so the odds of having a very destructive event like Katrina have gone way, way up, and hurricane season starts again in 2 days.
That's right. And right after you spoke at the Ceres conference in Oakland, you were talking about how there were record tornadoes, killer tornadoes in your home state of Tennessee. The following week, there was even a bigger, more devastating tornado in Tennessee. It just keeps, the hits just keep on coming. But the weather examples are the most extreme, and certainly getting, you know, average Americans to start to tune in and pay attention and say, whoa, this might actually affect me.
Yeah.
But it's the subtler things that we can't see, how slight changes in climate affect everything from crops to cows and how much milk they produce.
That's correct. And as the soils and the vegetation get drier, we have more fires. And that, in turn, puts more global warming pollution up there. But you're right that some things are out of sight and out of mind. we see the pictures of the polar bears. They're large, beautiful, highly visible. They're being pushed off the planet. There's no colder place for them to go. But the things we can't see, like germs and viruses, are also on the move, moving in many cases from the tropics to the more temperate latitudes and moving into an encounter with human populations that was impossible in the past. Mosquitoes go to higher altitudes and broader ranges, and other disease-carrying pests and vectors for disease. The ecological niches that everything depends on are being scrambled up by this. And the good news is we can stop this. We have everything we need to fight climate crisis and begin solving it, save perhaps political will, but that's a renewable resource in America.
I saw this movie after I saw your PowerPoint presentation a couple of times, and it does such a good job of really laying it out, everything from the charts and graphs, which you do so well, just your personal journey. And it's really a close-up look at, you know, how you were doing this kind of thing, talking about it so many years ago. And that's what I think is giving you this credibility and this. It's really a poignant story about your family and your journey. And I think that will make people say, gee, this isn't just something he got onto, because it isn't. I remember reading about you having dinner table conversations when you were being raised by your mother, talking about Rachel Carson, Silent Spring. So you've gotten this from the start. Now, those of us who've known that all along, you know, were disappointed when it didn't get through during your campaign as much as we would have liked. And the same thing happened with John Kerry. Although I do have to acknowledge you, there was at least one occasion, it was a sweltering day, summer day in Texas, and you said, this is an example of global warming. And you probably said that a lot, but it probably didn't get picked up a lot.
I talk about global warming in virtually every speech, and definitely in all of the major speeches, and launched a major program to solve global warming that was the single most expensive and comprehensive plank in my entire platform. And, you know, during those years, particularly in 2000, this was a time when more than half of all the news media stories about global warming pretended that it might not even be a real issue. The scientific consensus, even though it was clear to many of us, still was not at the point that it is now. And my opponent, then Governor Bush, had publicly pledged to regulate CO2 and had told people he was a compassionate conservative and said specifically that he was convinced global warming was a serious problem and if elected, he would take it on. And so many of those covering the campaign didn't perceive a contrast that was newsworthy, and they didn't necessarily believe that the issue was a legitimate one to be discussed. And so I'd make a speech about global warming, and then in the Q&A afterwards get a question about prescription drugs or some other issue that, while important, was not global warming, and yet the stories the next day would be focused on the Q&A, and it was as if the speech never took place.
I always say we should practice compassionate conservation. Let's try that.
I like that phrase.
Thank you. So this is hopefully the beginning of a sea change. You've done with this movie what those of us who've been talking about it for years have been trying to do. I say, see the movie. That's the key. So how do we get people to see this movie, especially important opening weekend, and how many theaters and cities are you opening in?
Well, it opened last weekend in only two cities and in only two theaters in each city, two screens in L.A. and two screens in New York. The good news is that the crowds were huge, and the response from those who saw the movie was just so, it was better than my wildest hopes. And incidentally, the reaction from Republicans and conservatives and people who went in skeptical for whatever reason was the same as the reaction from those who, like you and me, were already disposed to think of this as a serious problem. And it's been across the board. And the Fox News reviewer said, you have to see this movie. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, a conservative or a liberal. Bill Riley said, Al Gore's right on global warming. I'm not sure that's an exact quote. This shouldn't be seen as a political issue. People don't see the movie as a political movie. It's not a political movie at all. But the issue, more importantly, is not political. It's really a moral issue and an ethical issue. And in the largest sense, it's a spiritual issue. I mean, who are we? Are we creatures destined to destroy the planet that gives us the ability to live? I don't think so. I don't believe that. But we have to answer that question for our children and grandchildren and for ourselves, because now, having quadrupled human population in 100 years, having multiplied the power of our technologies 1,000-fold, we are now destroying the integrity of the Earth's ecological system, particularly the most vulnerable part of it, the thin atmosphere. And we have to change. The good news is we can, but we can and will when we look at the reality of our new relationship to the planet and take responsibility for the future consequences of our present actions.
Now, when I saw the movie, I said, okay, we'll never hear from those folks at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, the one funded mostly by Exxon, after this movie. There's no way they would show their faces in public. And sure enough, they're putting out television ads saying, they call it CO2, we call it life. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit.
I know. It's beyond parody. It's a parody of itself. But, I mean, I would laugh, except that I know that for 20 years they have helped to paralyze America's political process. And polluters who spend millions of dollars a year to put out false, misleading, pseudoscientific, corrupt interpretations of this are doing it in order to try to prevent the formation of a consensus on the part of the American people that's based on a truthful view of the most serious challenge we've ever confronted. And what they're doing is immoral.
And we'll be back with more Gore right after these messages.